It's wonderful to be together again. What a great day to be alive. And I get it. Not every day is a great day. But I mean, just look around at all the smiles on your face. There's something special happening here today. If you would please stand as you're able, we'll read our sermon text this morning. It's out of the book of Ezekiel. If you don't know me yet, you'll know that I love the Old Testament. It's like reading a history book. You can't believe these things happened. It's so amazing, and it's such a blessing to learn from it. We'll read out of Ezekiel 34. We're going to read 11 through 15. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel writes, and God through him, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God." What a good word. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word does not return to you empty. Help us today to have your word work on our hearts. Help us to learn what it is that you are our true shepherd. Help us to leave here knowing what your word says. Help us to apply it to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's a lot that goes with the name, isn't there? We just had a boy, and we named him Olin. And Olin means filled with happiness. Well, right now, the only thing he fills is his pants. But he will be happy. I guarantee it. He has to live up to his name. My daughter's middle name is Irene. Irene is a Greek word. It means peace. She is peaceful when she's not moving around and talking all the time, but she's peaceful. My name means Aaron. If your name is Aaron, I know of an Aaron in the room. I think it means like enlightened one or exalted one. I would read a lot into that. I would really just let that one stew for a bit. Today we're going to talk about shepherds. There's a lot that goes with the meaning of a shepherd too. You know, the word shepherd in the Bible means leader. I used to always think shepherds, because I thought of Jesus and I thought of David, I thought shepherds were spiritual leaders, and they are, but they're also just leaders. The word shepherd is synonymous with leader, and they get that from King David. It started with King David. Think about this. The people asked for a king. They got Saul. Saul was good for a while, but he ended up being just like they said about the kings. They're going to take your men and make them run in front of his chariots, which means they're going to die. He's going to take their food and all that. Well, what's interesting is then a shepherd boy comes along, and he becomes king. And from then on out, the word shepherd and leader were synonymous. After David, a shepherd was a good leader. That's what David was. It comes from David, the son of Jesse. He is the standard which we compare all other leaders in the Bible. And there's good leaders and bad leaders, isn't there? There's good shepherds, but there's also bad shepherds. Just because you're a shepherd doesn't mean you're a good shepherd. We have lots of bad shepherds. Look around. You know, our country doesn't always have good leaders, does it? Our local, and that's not the dog or leaders. It's just you get both. You get both. When we look at the layout of Ezekiel this morning, we see a nation, the nation of Judah, that had some really crummy leaders, some really bad leaders. These leaders thought only of themselves, and they took from the sheep instead of giving to them. In the first 24 chapters of Ezekiel, Ezekiel warns the nation, specifically the town of Jerusalem, stop this, or bad things are going to happen. And then bad things did happen. Basically, the Babylonians came in and killed everyone, and the remnant was very small. People think, well, some of them survived. Very few survived. It wasn't like, okay, well, half of them went. It was probably, I don't even know the fraction. It was a small fraction that survived and got carried off to captivity. So Jerusalem was leveled. But then he has another chapters 30, 25 through 32. So this is all of Ezekiel up to where we are today. You know, he judges the nations, but then he judges the countries around them. People don't realize the nations around Jerusalem helped the Babylonians. They gave them secrets, and they helped aid them, and they didn't, or at the very least, they didn't harm them or try to stop them. And Israel, Judah, even though they were bad dudes, they were bad people, they were still God's anointed. They were still God's anointed people. And these people helped the Babylonians hurt God's anointed. So they were judged as well. But then Judah falls. Then Jerusalem gets leveled. Everyone dies. So, and it says in 33, it talks about the fall of Jerusalem in chapter 33. And then Ezekiel changes. He changes to gospel. He changes to promise. Judah falls and the judgment has come. The penalty for their sins have been paid. So he spends the rest of the prophecy talking about how God will search out his people, how he will gather and how he will restore his people, how he will feed them, how he will supply their needs. Judah's past shepherds were pretty nasty. Listen to these words. This is the passage of scripture right before our sermon text. And I know it's a lot, but hear these words. They're so strong. Thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back. Shepherds are supposed to bring back the sheep. They're supposed to get the stragglers. They didn't get them back. They were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. What a word of judgment. What a word of disparity. That just makes my heart hurt. These are God's people and you didn't help them. But then we come to our passage for today. And it says in 11, behold, God says this through Ezekiel, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. Man failed, so God steps in. He will seek them out. These past shepherds, these leaders of Israel, they took from the sheep. They starved them. They caused them to be scattered. So then the true shepherd comes, and that's what we're going to talk about. Our first lesson this morning is the true shepherd, he seeks the sheep. He seeks them out. He says, I myself. The Hebrew here is very emphatic. It emphasizes the who. I myself will seek them out now. And the sheep, the Jews, they were scattered all over the Babylonian Empire at this time. The immediate context of our passage today is the Jews who were in the Babylonian captivity, the Babylonian exile, and God does actually bring them out 70 years later. The temple is rebuilt in 516 BC, 70 years, just like the prophecy said. He does seek them out. But there's a broader context. We always talk about in the Bible, we start with the context it's written in. That is true. That's the single context. But the broader one is John 10. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he doesn't own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming, he flees. He's out of here. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. There's a greater context here. This last bit reminds me of someone most of us are familiar with. Do you guys remember the guy named Audie Murphy? Remember Audie Murphy? He was the most celebrated army soldier in World War II. He won every award of merit of valor for the army that they had at the time. He even earned the Congressional Medal of Honor, which is pretty hard to earn while you're still living. Most men die and get it later. In 1945, at this point, he had received a battlefield commission, and now he was a lieutenant. And he was leading his men into a battle, and the tank in front of him was destroyed and blown up, and it was on fire, and the crew of the tank bailed out. And he told his men to go into the woods right nearby the battle. He walked up to the tank that was still on fire, got on the 50 caliber machine gun, if you don't know, it can basically put holes in an engine block. It's a very powerful machine gun. And he held down this German company that was coming in. He was up there for an hour on a burning tank, holding them back by himself. This is what he received the Congressional Medal of Honor for. He was shot. He was wounded. You know the reason he quit fighting them on that tank? He ran out of ammunition. He would have kept going. And then he goes into the woods, and he leads his platoon back into the battle. He's wounded. He's shot. He leads them back in to finish the job. And later on, when he received the Congressional Medal of Honor, he was being interviewed, and they asked, why did you take it upon yourself to take on a whole German company by yourself? And this is what he said. They were killing my friends. He laid down his life for his friends. The good shepherd, Jesus, the true shepherd, he lays down his life for his friends. That's what he does. The shepherds of Israel, they were feeding themselves. Their sheep had scattered. They cared only for themselves. So God comes down, and he goes after the scattered. As a shepherd seeks out a flock, it says in our passage today, when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places they've been scattered. And our English in the Bible is really neat. You know, if you've ever studied a different language, some of us I know they know Norwegian. Others may know German or Spanish. I had to learn some languages in seminary that I've long since forgot. But a lot of times when you translate a word, it takes several words in the other language to make it coherent in that language. Like when man came here, a white man came here when the Native Americans were here and they owned the land still. They had horses and they hadn't seen horses yet. They didn't have a word for horse, so they called them big dogs. You know, I mean, that's an example. I butchered that. That's not exactly right, but you get the idea. It takes maybe three words in English to say one word in Hebrew in some cases. And in our context today, talking about rescuing in the Hebrew, the English is very good. It's great. Your English Bibles are awesome. But the word rescue is a very rich word. It takes several words. It literally means God won't just rescue you. He will cause to deliver you. He is the cause of your deliverance. It's a very rich word. So he will indeed rescue the scattered in Ezekiel's day like he does, but he will also rescue us. It has ramifications for today. Jesus in his day caused your deliverance when he died on the cross for your sin. He says, I myself will search you out. And think about it. He came down to earth as man and he searched you out and he saved you. The God of the universe searched for you. Doesn't that get you? The God of the universe cares for you. He sought you and he bought you. And it's not a mistake that you're here this morning, whether you come here every Sunday or this is your first Sunday. He's been seeking you your whole life. And he'll continue to uphold you and keep you your whole life. He's that God. Our first lesson this morning is that the true shepherd seeks his sheep. And what happens when he finds them, though? That's our second point. Our second lesson this morning is the true shepherd, he secures his sheep. Verse 13 says this, "And I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines." The word ravines, actually, this is another Hebrew word. It means by the channels of water. We would say streams. By the ravines, by the channels of water, and in all the inhabited places of the country. So God, his people are scattered all over these foreign lands, and he seeks them out. But he doesn't just stop there. He pulls them out. He doesn't just find them. He rescues them. He delivers them. He takes them out of those lands. He takes them out of captivity, and he puts them in his own land. He puts them in the promised land. And again, this is just, first and foremost, a promise given to Ezekiel's day. It's irresponsible to take it outside of that context. But clearly, he's continued to do that after Ezekiel. You know, the Babylonian Empire, they grabbed God's people in that day. But it's a promise for us, too. You know, in prophecy, we often think of prophecy as, okay, there's this prophecy, and it's going to happen in this time and place. We think of it as a mountain peak in time, and it's going to happen at that point. When really prophecy is oftentimes, it has multiple fulfillments. And so what that means is you'll have multiple peaks in maybe a mountain range. Maybe the mountain range is the prophecy and there'll be multiple peaks. We talked about Lewis and Clark last week and they have something very interesting that actually applies to this too. They were raised on the East Coast. I think Clark was a Virginian actually. I can't remember to be honest. But they were used to the Appalachian Mountains. If you've been in the Appalachian Mountains, they're hilly. They're kind of a pain to drive through in the winter. They can be slick, but they're not the Rockies. They're not nearly as extreme and majestic and just huge. So when they thought about the mountains, the Rockies, they assumed they were like the Appalachians. Like they'll be hard to get through, but after some difficulty, we'll get through them. But then they got to the Rockies, and they got past their first peak, and they looked, and they saw peak after peak after peak after peak, and they realized there was such depth to the Rockies. Prophecies are like that. They have depth. They have depth. The prophecy that we're talking about today is like that. The people have been scattered, and God brings them back in this one temporal spot in the 6th century BC. He brings them out of captivity. But he also brought us back. When we look past that part in the Bible, we see God's people were scattered again and again. Actually, in Jesus' day, Jews were all over the Roman Empire. That's how the church took off so quick. All you had to do is go preach in the synagogue all over the Roman Empire, and people would come to faith. They were already scattered everywhere. And what did they preach? He lays down his life for them, but then he rises in power. And he taught that to his apostles, and his apostles went out. You think about Peter and Paul and Silas and Barnabas. They went out to the scattered sheep who were all over the Roman Empire, and they shared in the synagogue and outside the synagogue. They shared with them. They shared to the Gentiles. And that's why you see in John chapter 10, we read some of this, but hear the words after. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father. But then he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about the Gentiles, those who aren't Jews, those outside of the synagogue. He wants them also. Most of us here, I don't know anyone here who grew up in the synagogue. This is us. This promise is for us. One flock, one church, one shepherd, one Christ. This promise has been fulfilled. Our first lesson this morning is the true shepherd, he seeks his sheep. Our second lesson is the true shepherd, he secures his sheep. He saves them. He saved our souls. Our final lesson this morning is just encouraging. It's just as encouraging as the previous two. The true shepherd, he supplies for his sheep. When we look at verse 14 of chapter 34, it says this, I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. The law is this. When we sin, we die. These are the consequences for our sin. Our passage today is a passage of grace, but it would be irresponsible to talk about our passage today outside of the passages before it, which are passages of law. Do bad things happen. There's consequences for your sin. The Jews, they were in captivity. They were in bondage. They were slaves when they heard these words from Ezekiel. They'd rebelled against God. We as humans, we as people, you know, Americans, whatever you want to designate yourself as, we have sinned and rebelled against God. And so we're dead in our trespasses. We're slaves to sin because we too have rebelled. We've rebelled against God. To sin is to die spiritually. Sin separates us from a holy God, and therefore the salvation that is in him, if we're separate from it, there is only one other thing. There's the opposite of salvation. There's damnation. That's the reality. That's the reality. But the gospel is this, and this is so sweet. The passage that we're reading today is so sweet. That even though we've earned this punishment, even though we deserve it, he searches for you. He looks for you who are scattered. He seeks you out. He runs after us, and he secures us, and then he supplies for his sheep. He gives them food to eat. He says, I will feed them with good pasture, not bad pasture. He gives you the best, even though we don't deserve it. And he puts us on mountain heights of Israel, the good grazing land. I was talking to a friend of mine who raised sheep growing up, and I was just talking about our sermon passage today. I'll do that sometimes when I'm excited. If you can't tell, I really love this passage. And he goes, Aaron, something that really keyed into me when I heard you read that was the fact that the sheep lie down. He says, sheep don't lie down unless they're content. They don't lie down unless their bellies are full, that they feel safe and secure. Otherwise, they'll stay standing. God is so good at supplying our needs that we're actually able to have that security. We lie down. We have full bellies. There is a safety that's in God, a security that's in God, a contentness that can only be found in God. as we close this morning, I want to draw your attention to one more thing, one more detail from our passage. It's kind of a, we talked about inclusio last week. I don't remember if you remember what that is, but it just means it's bracketed. There's bookends, Oreo cookie, if you will. I don't know if this is an inclusio, but it's another kind of form of it. He starts and ends this passage with the same thing. He says in verse 11, behold, I myself, the very emphatic language, will search for my sheep and seek them out. I myself will seek them out. And then in verse 15, the end of our passage for today, we see the same thing. We see, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, will give them contentness. They will give them security. Jesus did this for us. I myself is Christ coming down for us. You know, in 1 Samuel 8, they asked for a king. This is back in the time of the judges. They asked for a king, and he goes, you don't want a king. God is your king. It was called a theocracy. God is your king. They go, no, we want a king like the nations around us. And so God gave them the desires of their heart, but he says he will take your sons and make them run out in front of your chariots to get run over, to get killed, to guard that king. He'll take your sons and daughters. He'll take the best of your fields, it says in chapter 8. He will take a tenth of your grain. He will make your male and female servants. He'll take them. He'll take a tenth of your flocks. And he even says in verse 17, and you shall be his slaves. Sounds a lot like these shepherds that just came before the good shepherd in our passage from Ezekiel. And this is what they did. Instead of looking out for God's people and meeting their needs, it says in chapter 34, to begin it, you eat the fat. This is, they eat the fat instead of giving it to their sheep. You clothe yourselves in wool. What are sheep made of? You clothe yourselves in what you're supposed to be protecting. It's not a mistake, he says, wool. You slaughter the fat ones, on and on. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. This is what the kings of men do who aren't after God's own heart. This is what they do. This is what our sinful nature does. I'm not judging them. I think it's in me too. You know, outside of Christ, this is what man does. But God says, after man failed us, God says, I myself will take care of this. I will seek you. I will search for the scattered. I will seek you. I will secure you. I will supply for you. Here's the thing that will really cook your noodle. Think about this week as you go about your day. Or I myself will seek out the scattered. You know how he did it? He became a sheep. Instead of being the good shepherd became the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God was butchered for us. The Lamb of God was killed for us. He became that which the shepherds of old did to us. He took our place. He was killed in our place. What kind of God is this? What kind of shepherd is this? This is something new. It's not new in eternity, but this is something new than what we're used to. This is something miraculous, something amazing. The true shepherd, he seeks his sheep. He secures his sheep. He supplies for his sheep. And I encourage you to follow this example. We rely on God to make us these things, but case in point, it's Rally Sunday. Sunday school's beginning. Look around you. Take a look. This is the flock. These are the sheep. You are God's sheep. This is the flock. When we teach our flock, when we minister to each other, let's seek out the scattered, those who are outside of this building. Let's seek them out like good shepherds of the gospel do. Let's secure them in Christ. I can't secure anyone. God can, though, in his word. This is where the power is. You have the tools. Well, I don't know what to say. Sure you do. Memorize a couple scriptures. You can do it. And it's not the power or how well you say it. It's what he does through you. To him goes the glory. And lead them to good pastures. Again, these are the good pastures. This is the good food. This is the fat. Lead people to that so that they may be content in God, that they'll lie down in good pastures. And also in our lives, let's cling to the good shepherd. He says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down. Here's our promise this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. What a great passage of scripture. What a great word of promise, Lord. We cling to your promise, Lord. We have nowhere else to go. Help us to trust you as our true shepherd, Lord. Thank you that you are our true shepherd, that you look after us even when we don't realize it. You've been working on us our whole life, and you'll work on us the rest of our life, Lord. It's you that saves us. And the And the joy is, and same as Ephesians 2, it's not how hard we hold on to you, it's how hard you hold on to us. It's the object of our faith, Lord, and you are worthy. You are good enough. You are strong enough to hold on to us and to find us and secure us. Thank you for these words today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.